You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. Beware,
I live. IGN Games.
Morris Code.
How'd the Night Court theme go again? Oh, what's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Games Group. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Greg Miller.
Yo.
And Ryan Geddes.
Hello.
Back in the warm embrace of our bosom.
You've been gone. Gross.
True.
You're here officially. You know?
I am. Yeah.
This is the first official scoop since moving back, right?
Yeah.
Since moving back.
Yeah. Since moving back.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you were on like the week before you officially moved back to say you were moving back.
Okay, well, I have officially moved back. I am here.
You might say you're back in the Bay.
I am. I'm back in the Bay, son.
I'll never do that again.
Good.
Man, so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. I'm back to work. This is my first day back to work.
So started at what you had for breakfast two weeks ago.
I just got back from Germany and London trip.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Was there panic on the streets of London?
I don't get it.
All right, see you guys later.
we have a lot to catch up on. But how have you guys been? I've missed you guys.
Likewise, I'm sure.
I miss you listeners.
It's been oddly quiet behind me.
No one's been
drumming. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've got some new beats to play for y'all.
Oh, good.
Do they have a London accent?
Do they? The what?
The Beats? Beats?
The Beats have a London accent, yeah. It's true.
Did you stay in a flat while you were there?
Yes.
Did you see any lorries?
I don't know what those are.
Trucks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did that. I stood in many queues. I waited in many queues while I was there.
Did people make
in
fun
many
of you for spelling
many?
Color without a U?
Yeah. They're very cruel to me.
Oh. True.
No, I had a really good time in London.
What'd you do?
Saw the sights. You know.
Yes.
You go to Big Ben?
Yeah.
What about Parliament?
Yeah.
Is the London Eye still there? Or did they take that down?
No. Why would they take that down?
I think they were going to take it down.
Is it a temporary thing?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's basically a giant
like Ferris wheel, but they have pods,
clear pods that you can see.
It has been there for a while, but it's supposed to be temporary. But I think they're just making so much money off it that they're like, why would we ever take this down?
I don't know why they took it down. It's very cool. We talked a lot about going on the Eye, but then went to a pub instead.
Oh,
you should have. Like you made the right choice.
You should have met a tarty lass and taken her up in the Eye.
Did you have fish and chips?
I did not have fish and chips. I had a lot of warm flat beer.
Okay.
And I had the pub food.
When I had fish and chips, I was very surprised because they just cut off the head and give you the rest of the fish.
Mm.
And I was like, expecting here chicken, fish strips. But no, the whole fish.
Stopped into a pub along the River Thames for lunch.
Did you go visit Shakespeare's?
Yeah, this is right by that area. We were for lunch. And the Culkin brothers walked in and...
I saw you. Really? About those,
yeah,
right?
Sat at the table right behind us. So I have a stealth photo of it's like me and then the Culkin brothers are right behind my shoulder here. Huh. I guess one of them, not Macaulay Culkin, I forget, Kieran Culkin? He's in Scott Pilgrim, which was premiering in London. So I assume that's what they're from. He brought his brother along.
Aww.
For his date.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to be a box office draw?
Whatever. He's dating Mila Kunis, so he's got it all.
Yeah. There you go.
I think they're still dating anyway. Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, what did I miss around here?
Oh, my God.
They all took their shirts off and played.
Yeah, I did see. I saw some photos of
volleyball.
We have PlayStation Move, which means we take off our shirts and play PlayStation Move.
Okay.
Geddes and I have been playing Valkyria Chronicles 2.
Yes.
We're enjoying it.
One thing at a time. When does Move come out?
Move comes out September 19th, but you can look for all our reviews of the launch games on September 1st.
Wow. Yeah. Early reviews.
Yeah. Because they're so confident in all these review scores. They are just caution to the wind, suckers.
How are you finding the Move games?
I haven't played that many yet. I've been very busy with Valkyria. We have that review going up on Monday. And then also Dead Rising Case Zero I'm reviewing next week as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to PAX next week. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I've played Sports Champions. I enjoy that one. Archery is still a lot of fun. I got to play it for a little bit. Mm. And then I got to play it a little bit more here. Enjoyed that a little bit. Enjoyed it. I'm saying a little bit and enjoyed it a lot. I can't stop now, though. I'm enjoying it a little bit. and then I know Nicole's playing iPad. She seems to be having fun with that. Nate's playing a bunch of other stuff. Clements is not enjoying his game, so we'll not tell you the game he's playing.
Uh-oh. But it looks funny. That's the only...
Wow, I could totally hear that.
I know, it makes like the Predator sound.
Yes, it totally does.
It kind of sounds like you're scuba diving.
That's a little bit of everything.
Take another drink to listen.
This is me drinking water, everybody.
So loud.
It sounds like a fish tank.
Yeah, it is like a bubbler.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening. It's bubbling up, going down smooth.
Who am I? Don't say any names, but who am I?
I know who you are, yeah.
You know. Okay, anyway.
I don't know, but it was still funny.
It's got to be one of our coworkers.
Yes.
You didn't do it exactly right, though.
Oh, sorry.
I'll show you later.
Is that me, is it?
No. Okay.
It's Greg.
Wait, but you've got coffee. Do it.
No, I'll do it later. I don't want to waste the listeners' valuable time.
Yeah, we're really giving them
the scoops
here.
Besides, it's more of a visual thing than a sound thing. Anyway.
Okay. Fine.
I went to several Euro dance parties when I was in Germany.
I was trying to follow this on the Twitters of whatnot. You and Fran ended up at some crazy dance party.
Dude, it was
Sony?
On the show floor. Imagine like a club, a giant club that was packed on the E3 show floor at the Sony booth.
Like while the show's going on?
No, after hours.
Okay.
Late at night. But... like at midnight, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, when the show has to open again in the morning. Mm. And there's like beer bottles smashed everywhere. Like all over the floor. There's like spilt beer everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Just like sweaty people dancing all over the place on the show floor. And it's got to be open
Did you go back the next day and see what state it was
in? I left the next day. But I was just like, wow. I was like, have fun cleaning this up. I'm out.
Sony's like, no!
Were there game consoles and stuff out still?
Yeah, like everything was still out. They could have totally like smashed, like knocked over game consoles and TV monitors and everything.
Wow. Oh, Europe. You're so wacky.
It was awesome though. Because they would play like, whatever, what pop songs we would recognize, but then they would play like these German techno anthems that every German person there knew or singing along with, like really loud. It was awesome. It was really
good. Bob Sinclair?
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
But then I went to another one, like another game. I went to this Playboy event that was super fun.
In Germany?
You promised pics on this one. I want to see pics.
I've got them. I didn't bring my phone down with me.
Okay.
So you had like bikini babes pouring vodka right into people's mouths, and they're hand rolling Cuban cigars for us. It was great.
Jesus.
But then after that, we went to an official like Gamescom sponsored dance party also it wasn't on the show floor, but it was another event. It was like in a cafeteria, so it felt like a prom, like a high school prom or something. Wow. But it was packed and like people were like up on stage and dancing, and that one went to like 6 a.m. It was awesome. It was good. It was a really good time.
Good.
I didn't know what to think. It was one of those situations again, Greg Miller, where before I left I was like, I'm not really looking forward to going to Germany this year. But then and then I had a great time.
Good.
It was good. Although it took me 24 hours to get to Germany.
Ugh.
That part was not much fun. Because I went to London afterwards, I had two flights booked, and I had to fly to London first and wait for 7 hours there and then get to Germany.
So, man.
Anyway. But when I was in London, I saw Jason Schwartzman, who I also assume was there for
I think
Scott
you might
Pilgrim.
Have just seen Fran out of the corner of your
eye. That's what everybody says, okay? So,
oh, so that joke's
get a
old.
New joke.
Wow.
I'm just coming to the party. Sorry. So let me ask you this. What portable games did you play to bide your time while you were waiting?
I had Super Scribblenauts with me, which is great.
Is that out yet?
No, it's not till October.
Okay.
He's special.
Yeah.
So yes. can you give us any insight on how?
Yeah, I can tell you it's what the first game should have been. It's basically they fixed Scribblenauts.
They fixed the game.
Yeah.
Good. All right. So good.
It's super.
What
super
was the craziest you thing you game. Came up with?
I don't know. Oh, like you make there's adjective challenges where you have to like they'll show you like a building and then a bear and then you have to like combine them, create something that combines them. So I made a furry house. You know, like that's how you win the challenge. Just
that's cool.
It's good. And then I had my iPhone with me. I watched Jersey Shore for the first time.
Oh, what did you think?
Oh, it's so good. I mean, I knew I would like it. Yeah. It's like you and Dave Clayman and Eric Bradbury are talking about a show that you love. Like I knew I was going to love it. So of course it's great.
What were you using to watch it?
My iPhone.
You rip them to it, or are you watching off?
The first episode of Jersey Shore is available to download for free from iTunes App Store.
Really?
Yeah,
the
video store. And I noticed several girls in Germany looked like they were going for the Snooki look.
Oh yeah,
they
oh,
were
yeah.
going for it.
Did
yeah.
they have
armpits?
The big hair?
Yeah,
the bump it.
No, they didn't have hairy armpits. Hot girls in Germany. Hot confirmed.
Okay, you got okay, good.
Well, didn't you see the massage video?
Yeah,
I did see the massage video, yeah. But
she's
I thought
cute.
Maybe that was an anomaly.
And they cut something out. I totally asked her if she was single.
Oh, I know. I saw that. And I was like, oh, they didn't leave that part in there because it was funny.
I totally asked her if she was single. And she was like, yes, no. I totally caught her off guard.
Did she speak English?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just enough.
Nine. Yay.
And I also started season two of True Blood on the plane, which I of course is great, but I felt I was a little embarrassed, of course.
I failed
to remember all the sex that's in that show.
Were you sitting next to a kid?
I'm like holding my iPhone like this, like trying to not let anybody see all the boobs.
Were you masturbating under a blanket?
Furiously.
No blanket.
No blanket.
Don't hide it.
I mean, I'm on a flight for like 11 hours. Like, what am I supposed to, like, I'm not
out.
Supposed to masturbate for 11 hours?
I'm sure everybody was doing it.
Yeah. Can I have another blanket?
Do you guys hear about how amazing the BioShock Infinite is supposed to be?
Yeah, like the demo.
Jeez, the demo is incredible. There's no way that it's actual gameplay, like straight gameplay. It's like it has to have been doctored because it's just too awesome.
That's what I keep hearing, that the trailer is nothing like the demo, really. It's like it's a totally different feel.
Well, it takes place in that same sort of like you're on top of an airship, and so there's like blue sky and clouds all around you. But it's very, very different from BioShock, except for that you still have like these plasmid powers. Mm-hmm. That's like the one connection I made. But we've got to get that video up on the site. Everybody needs to see how amazing that game is. We picked a game of the show, BioShock Infinite, and yeah, it was easily the coolest thing we saw at the show. Not a lot of new stuff at Germany this year.
There's a lot of information coming out of the show.
There was good information.
A lot of new media coming out. But
a lot of announcements.
Yeah.
Mass Effect on PS3s.
Mm-hmm. Happy about that, Greg Miller?
Yeah, very happy. Yeah. Go back, play that again.
Get the trophies.
I'm very curious to see how they handle the
intro?
The backstory.
Said there's going to be a completely new one as far as like something special, but they didn't go into if it's playable, if it's just a movie, how they're going to do it. I think they're just going to take your Mass Effect in 5 minutes and put it in the front.
Yeah, that'll be good.
All right, well,
here's everything you need to know.
Hopefully they've already signed that check. Send it my way.
They gave it to Ryan Coleman.
No!
Did people like the Resistance 3 trailer?
Yeah, I thought that was
so super lame.
Really? What didn't you like about it?
What is a live-action trailer supposed to tell us about a video game?
It's more the announcement that, yes, it's officially coming. Don't
so
be afraid.
Just tell us that announcement.
Well, then the fun starts of the speculation. Colin cited the St. Louis Arch in there, which isn't in line with the timeline, so is this set in the future? I took away from it that I was actually excited. It looked more like a Left 4 Dead kind of game, hopefully.
Maybe
I'm not a dumb military dude in a dumb military unit while marching across fighting stuff. I'd much rather be like, you know, all right, fine. You guys didn't like that. This is how it's worked. You're a survivor in this horrible thing, and you're trying to get to, Colin thinks, New York from the, you know, I think the Statue of Liberty is in one of the A's, and then there's the Empire State Building and stuff. Hmm. It got me excited. I'm looking forward to it. I didn't like the first two, really.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm with you on the live action trailer.
That's the thing. It's like,
it's not even just resistance. I'm just not a fan of live action video game trailers.
That doesn't tell us anything about the game.
I know, and I agree with you in principle, but in this one, it was just. It's an announcement.
Game you like,
this
is happening. You're drop
no,
your
I didn't
principles.
Like the first one.
I'm sure you like the Halo live action trailer.
I actually
trailer.
Don't.
You don't?
Yeah, I don't. I love Halo, as you know, but I would rather see great cutscene CGI
something
trailers.
That actually like,
here's the
tells
thing.
Me what the game is going to look like.
If Resistance 3 comes out and it's the exact same, nope, that was nothing. That you're still just a soldier, and this is what. Then it's completely stupid.
Yeah.
If it's, hey, we're going. This is the new, like that whole trailer looked way more like a zombie movie to me than it did Resistance, and that's probably why I'm more excited about it. Like just people hanging from trees and all this horrible stuff, and you're just trying to get across the country. That's
like
cool.
The Blair Witch Project.
Which it was also not as awesome as it should have been.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I didn't like the live action trailer for the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. I thought it was too long too. They totally lost me.
Yeah, it was long. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
I've been to 2 Sony press conferences in Germany, and I fell asleep during both of them.
You did?
That's awesome.
When we were there in 2007, I fell asleep during that conference, too.
That was a really boring one, yeah. Well, that one we went to in 2007 was super geared for, like, UK and Germany, right? It was like, oh, no, here's Play TV, which America will never get.
Yeah, well, they showed a bunch of stuff like that, too, again. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. It's not our show.
No, I know. I'm just saying. They've lost me.
From now on,
100% of the time, they've lost
me.
We
won't get mad when we see IGN UK people fall asleep at E3.
So you're liking Valkyria Chronicles, too.
Yeah.
Who's doing that? Who's your fan?
It's me.
You're doing that.
Yeah, Got a lot to play this weekend for it.
Yeah.
And Sports Champions and K-Zero.
Their review's going up when? Monday?
Monday.
Yeah. Nice.
There's so much going on right now.
I know.
So many games
are coming
out.
It's officially started.
Yeah, it has started.
September is going to be nuts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of games coming out at the end of September.
Yeah. And so Mafia 2 is up.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Out 7-0.
Yep, 7 flat.
Kind of what we were
standing by.
Kind of what we were thinking all along.
Yeah.
Apparently,
readers weren't thinking that. And other sites weren't thinking that.
what have other sites been giving me? I haven't seen.
Game Informer gave it a 9, and then it's been getting a smattering of 8s out there. Yeah. There are people in line with us who are like, no. 7.75.
All along we've been saying it's a perfectly fine game, but just not exceptional, right?
Yeah.
So
I think it's fun, and I had fun playing it, and it has a lot of problems, and that's why it got what it got.
The advertising on that game is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's so
everywhere.
Much advertising.
Yeah.
They're really,
but it needs to sell.
Yeah, they really need that game to sell.
They sent us a bunch of lamps as well. Yeah. The gun lamps.
You were using it in your house.
Yeah, we had one got here early. Ahead of everybody for some reason. And
yeah, that's weird. Why?
We're like, nobody wants this stupid lamp. And Simon's like, yeah, I do. My computer room needs it. We're like, oh, right. We do need a lamp.
We need a lamp in this room that has no light.
So there's that. And then yesterday, like, 7 showed up in the office. It's like, okay. So, if you'd like a lamp, you can come to my blog.
Have we explained what this lamp looks like?
It's a gun.
It's a handgun on a pedestal with the light bulb coming out of the shaft of the gun, right?
Barrel.
Yeah. Barrel. Thank you so much. Yeah.
How when Nate saw the it was like still wrapped up, he's like, it's a Tommy gun. I was like, no.
Nate, we've
it's a Tommy gun?
No. Why would you think that? It's way too small to be a Tommy gun. He's like, oh, you're the expert on guns now. Like, no, I know a Tommy gun is bigger than that.
I have a Tommy gun filled with tequila.
Yeah, you do.
Also
thanks,
for Mafia.
Thanks
see,
to Mafia.
You could have just looked at your desk and realized that would not have matched up. But no.
Poor Mafia.
So, yeah, 7-0.
Yeah.
Also 7-0 this week is Shank.
That surprised me. I thought that would score better.
Yeah.
I played it at PAX East and I liked it.
I played it at PAX West and liked it, but I only played
half the day.
I'm not contesting the score. I'm just saying from like the 2 seconds I played.
Yeah,
like,
that was totally
Arthur
one of those.
Really liked
it could
too,
go
but
either way. Games.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it has a very cool art style.
Yeah,
very pretty to watch. But those types of games, like those like side-scrolling beat 'em ups, they can totally get repetitive and dull. It just doesn't. The gameplay doesn't like hold up over time. A game needs more hooks than that.
I agree.
It needs like more layers. I don't know.
Speaking of Shank,
yes.
In that game, you can unlock Deathspank, or like I guess a character model of him or something
really?
To play on. Yeah,
interesting.
And in Deathspank, you can you don't unlock. I guess you just find it, loot. The chainsaw from Shank is in Deathspank.
Is in Deathspank.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that?
Yeah, I was playing with it.
Speaking of Deathspank, I love Deathspank. I love it so much.
It is so, it's so good.
Such,
now, so
such
tell
a fun
people
game.
What this game is that aren't familiar with.
It's like an action RPG.
Yes.
Sort of
slash.
Loot drop, Diablo style.
Who made it?
It's Hothead is the developer.
Oh, so it's like Penny Arcade
Ron Gilbert
Adventures.
Is
consulting. Yeah, Ron Gilbert. It's Ron Gilbert's creation.
Oh, okay.
But I think battles in Penny Arcade Adventures were turn-based, weren't they?
They were turn-based with some real-time
stuff. Yeah, you could
stuff.
Do real-time
you could time. Block real-time and do other things like that, but... Yeah, it was turn-based.
So what makes this better than that? Because I didn't really like that game.
I mean, this is much more action-oriented.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you still have that same... It, right? Yeah. There's a lot more loot, and there's a lot... It's just really funny because, you know, it's from Ron
there's
Gilbert.
Loads of quests going on. You're going on quests.
He said loads of quests. That would be... It's because he was in Britain.
Is it?
Yeah, they would say that.
I think I said that. I think I said that before.
No, I think... Sure I don't know. You've been out of the game too long, get it. You don't know the colloquialisms of David anymore.
It is also visually more interesting, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's got a very cool, like, it's got that rolling log world styles as you move.
And it's everything's like 2D in the world, like 2D in a 3D world. It's like a tree would be a 2D sort of model.
Nice. I like how you map, you can hold four weapons at a time, one to each face button of the controller, and you're encouraged to mix them up to build up your whatever.
Your combo, your chain, your whatever, combo and then
one
which builds up your justice meter.
Yes.
And then once there's certain weapons that will unleash a special attack if the justice meter is full.
Mm, okay.
So, like Death Bank, Limbo.
Dispense justice.
Death Bank, Limbo, and... Lara Croft are all really, really fun.
I keep hearing Lara Croft is good. I haven't gotten to play
it. It's fantastic. Excellent. All of those three games are like the best.
And that's an episodic thing, right? There's more installments in Lara Croft?
There's going to be downloadable episodes, or I'm sorry, like levels coming out, but it's a full game. It's not going to be like episode two.
Gotcha.
Anyway, very happy to hear that more Death Bank is coming already.
Yes. It's September 21st for PSN and then 22nd for... Xbox Live.
Yeah. That's a very tricky move, Sony. I don't know how Sony managed to pull that off this year. It used to be always XBLA games came out before PSN. Now, Sony just decided, well, we're going to release games on Tuesdays now.
Games always
come out.
And you've seen the sales numbers reflect that. The PS3, hotcakes.
I don't know. Why can't Microsoft just go, well, we're just going to put out games on Monday then?
And then, places really, we'll do Sunday.
Well, Monday's Nintendo's day. Can't compete with Nintendo. Everybody's downloading them virtual console
games. Yeah, WiiWare games, yeah.
Is that Monday?
What a failed venture that WiiWare has been.
Who would have thunk it?
Anyway.
There's good stuff on there, though.
Of course, of course. Okay. Very good games, but, I mean.
Are they still putting stuff out every week?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, but we kind of stopped reviewing them.
PlayStation
Minis.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're sick of saying these are terrible. If anything good ever comes, we will let you know.
We will notify you if a good game comes out. Yeah, that's our approach to WiiWare as well. I'm sorry, Christine. What more can we say about the new Death Spank?
The new Death Spank. It is...
What's the title?
Thongs of Virtue.
Thongs of
Virtue. Because if you remember in the first game, Death Spank wears a purple thong. It's just his costume.
It's the logo.
Yeah, it's the logo as well. So this one's much more about the lore of the thongs.
That's good, because there are a lot of unanswered questions about the thongs. Lingering questions remain.
How far are you in the first game?
I'm pretty well into it. I'm rounding up
You've almost completed the whole map?
The last of the orphans.
Oh, okay.
I gotta get,
Cool.
But I do all the side quests. I try to finish all the side quests first before I do the main mission quests, because I want to do everything.
That's good.
That's just my approach.
That's how I do it, too.
That's not the way you have to play it, Ryan.
Thank God.
But this time around, there's a lot more ranged weapons to choose from. And the first one, there's pretty much like one crossbow that you can find leveled up versions of, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't use it at
all. But now they've added guns. So, there's pistols and machine guns. And there's also a bazooka, which I killed myself with a few times on accident, because you can't use that with close-up. Tip.
Just
a tip.
Bazookas in real life.
Yeah, just like bazookas in real life, exactly. And there's also grenades.
Do people still use bazookas? Isn't that kind of an antiquated
RPG
weapon?
They use like stinger missiles.
In Afghanistan, are soldiers using bazookas?
They do have shoulder-mounted rockets.
Yeah, but they're not actually bazookas.
You should call them that, though, because it's a good name.
It is a good name.
I mean, Bazooka Joe ruined it for everybody. All right, well, now you're just making it into a joke, Bazooka Joe.
Oh. So
does it play like Death Spank?
Yes.
Okay.
So the combat's pretty much the same.
Does the world still look the same? Is it still the rolling log style?
Yes, exactly. But there's just, there's more towns now. There's new environments all themed differently.
I don't know about
there are a few...
When I hear rolling log, I just think of a giant cheese log and how delicious that would be.
I think rolling rock.
Like a beer.
Oh, how about a beer and really a
get,
slice
can
of
you get Rolling Rock out here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it got bought by somebody.
I mean, I haven't had it in a long time, so I don't know.
I haven't either. I'm sure I've seen it. Next time we hang out, I'll bring some more for you.
What does that number 33 mean? What does it mean? Double rainbow.
Double threes.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I know.
Ron Gilbert he's the guy behind Death.
Yeah, he did all the creative work behind both games.
And then
he pretty much had the same amount of input on Songs of Virtue as he did on the original Death Spank.
And Ron Gilbert is old school pals with Tim Schafer.
He is.
And Tim Schafer has another downloadable game coming out.
Double Fine has decided to stop making giant retail games because apparently it takes them like 4 years.
And because they can't sell them.
I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
I liked Brutal Legend very much.
I did not like Brutal Legend.
And you were all by yourself on that one, weren't you?
It's not true.
You were mostly
It reviewed
yourself.
Well, it just did not sell well. Anyway, he's making costume
quests now. He came into the office to show me off.
Tim Schafer himself came in.
He did.
Did he sign our developer well?
He did. Excellent. Along with Tasha Harris, who's the real creator of Costume Quest. Okay. But, okay. But Tim Schafer did the writing
he
and stuff.
He just came in because he needed to check his email.
So it was her idea, and so she sort of brought it to fruition. But he's there overseeing all of these projects. So, like I said, they're now coming out with four, mini games, downloadable titles instead of the retail games, and we'll see how that works out for them.
What do you think of Costume Quest?
I only got to see a very small portion of it, the very intro, but it's cute. I like the art style. I like the idea. So basically you and your twin brother, you get to pick which one you're playing as, are going trick-or-treating. Your parents force you out of the house to go make new friends because you just moved to this neighborhood.
Get out of here. Go
trick-or-treating. Yeah, get out of here. Leave.
Your parents don't go with you?
No.
So apparently you live in a safe neighborhood.
Yes, exactly. You're in the suburbs.
We're going to what?
They're getting it on.
The brother? Oh, the parents. Oh, yeah, they need some alone time.
Get out of the house.
Come on, it's Halloween.
Oh, Mom and Dad's door is locked. I know what's going on in there. One time, here's an overshare. One time when I was young, I heard my dad opening a jar in the kitchen, and he was struggling to open the jar. He was going, arr, arr. And I must have been I was 13 or something, and it occurred to me that I wonder if, that might be what my dad sounds like when he has sex. And I didn't ever want to hear him make that sound again.
You make the same noises when you open a jar as when you have sex?
This is just me as 13 years old. I was just wondering. It was like a grunt. It was like an animalistic sort of grunt. Yeah, I was like, man, does that really sounds like when he has
really
sex?
I really need that.
Anyway, Costume Quest.
Yes. So I actually found this game to be a little bit more similar to Penny Arcade. It does have turn-based combat system, but alongside it has real-time elements. So you push real-time your basic elements. Attack, and then there's a meter, and you have to get it, push the button at the right time to get more powerful damage, whatever, damage boost. And then
massive damage, did you say?
Yes, massive damages. Then that you can block also if you hit the button at the right time. And that's, I think the cool part is you basically, it's like White Knight, sort of, White Knight Chronicles.
Oh, great.
In that you, not really, but just the fact that, so if you are wearing a tiny little robot costume, you will transform into a powerful robot for battle.
Ryan, would you wear a tiny little robot costume for me if I asked you?
You wouldn't even have to ask me. Yeah. If I had one right around here, I would wear it.
Yeah.
You can also be a unicorn.
Oh, hello. Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. There's a bunch of different costumes. I've only seen a few so far, but so far they look cool. And, you just go questing. Obviously, a quest is in the title.
Yeah. And you earn different costumes.
Yeah, you have to go find. So you have to find a pattern, then you have to find the materials for it. And there's treasure coffins that are, located around, set of treasure chests. And that's where you'll find stuff. You'll also get things from quests.
Yeah.
And also, every costume comes with a particular ability. So the robot costume has a boost, so you're you can run really fast and you can run over ramps and stuff like that. But every costume will have something like that, which will open up new areas for you. You'll be able to get to new places with new costumes.
I want to play this game.
Yeah,
I want to check it out.
It looks cool.
It'll be out around Halloween,
I think. So yeah, they're
just
saying this fall,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I would assume they would time it with that.
Two 2D shooters released on iPhone this week. R-Type is now available on iPhone, but Levi gave it a 6.5.
He asked me over IM yesterday if I was a fan of the old game and everything. I think he wanted to turn it over.
You did the one on XBLA.
Yeah, but I hadn't really played the original, so I couldn't really talk to him about it. But
apparently that one didn't work out so well. But also, Dodonpachi.
Dodonpachi is one of your favorites.
Yes. Right? Resurrection was released on iPhone this week. Dodonpachi is my favorite shooter of all time. Made by Cave, developer Cave. Best 2D shoot-em-up developer out there. So it's available on iPhone, and I started playing it today, and my first impressions are positive. It's like, it's not going to like... It's never going to replace like an arcade game, so like holding a joystick.
This is one of these like bullet hell games. Right?
Yes.
So like, isn't the screen like super small for something like that, or do you find it doesn't matter?
I feel like they're doing the best job you can bringing that sort of game to the iPhone. Yeah. It's totally playable.
That's just a genre that I don't particularly like myself. So. How do you control it? He's rocking it back and forth.
With your finger.
Okay.
So you move. So you're always shooting. So you don't have like a fire button. You're constantly shooting. All you have to do is move your ship and dodge bullets, basically. So that works out okay. Just rubbing your finger on the iPhone screen like this, this just doesn't like feel very good to me.
To me, a stick is like the best way to play that game.
It is. But I feel like, for bringing that sort of game to the iPhone, they're doing about the best job you can.
So speaking of these games, isn't Otomedius coming out for some platform soon?
I think it's coming to Xbox.
Okay.
Otomedius, excellent.
Yes. Yeah. I remember playing that.
Yeah. That one is coming from Konami. I think it's going to be a full retail game, which sucks because that means it's going to be too expensive.
Yes.
They did the same
with Raiden 4, which should have been a downloadable
game. Raiden 4 and Death Smiles is out, came out
like,
too. It's like a $50
game. Downloadable.
Exactly. But that's why it's so cool that they can bring, Cave can bring their games to iPhone now because there's such little risk and they can sell it for $3 and...
Do you think touchscreen wouldn't be fun at all, or would you like to play it on an iPad? Do you think that would be better? Is it just the screen real estate, or is it just
it's the touch thing that bugs me. I just really like the feel of a joystick, make whatever sexual innuendo
you, like a
you
stick
want
in
to.
Your hands. That's what you're saying. You want the feel of a stick in your hands.
But it looks gorgeous on iPhone. It's a very, very pretty game. And it's not. It's a new Dodonpachi game too. It's not the original. This is Dodonpachi Resurrection. So.
I haven't played a game on the iPhone 4 yet, so I've heard the screen is just so good.
Very pretty. They run a lot more smoothly. It's good. Oh, I also beat Plants vs. Zombies again on my on my trip to Germany.
Take that, zombies.
Right. That one's coming out to XBLA very soon. It's going to be very, very cool. Anyway, I'll have my Dodonpachi Resurrection review soon. I'm hungry.
Me too. Yeah. I'm starving.
I just ate a granola bar and I could eat another one.
Yeah.
How many granola bars could you eat?
I don't think you need
I could probably eat the whole box in a day.
Okay. That's more reasonable.
Wow.
Today we're giving away a movie for PSP. A PSP movie.
What is it?
2012. Listener Nicholas Wallace has a code to download 2012 for your PSP, and he has
John Cusack
been kind enough to share it with his fellow listeners here. So here we go, fast fingers. We'll win you 2012 for your PSP. Here's the code from Nicholas Wallace. Here goes 7NENH4B4NH92. I have to say, I appreciate the short codes for the PlayStation Store. It takes 3 years to read an Xbox or an Xbox Live.
The worst when you're entering it on your system and you screw one digit up, you gotta there it is. Crap.
Whoever gets 2012 for the PSP, send good vibes to Nicholas Wallace and make sure you do it before you watch the movie because after you watch the movie, you might not feel so
negative vibes.
Let's knock some boots.
Ooh, I haven't done this in a while.
I know.
Dust off your hats, everybody.
I know. Here we go. This is from somebody. He says, oh, hi. I'm a British listener. I have a slightly different type of knocking boots question.
Should get us to read this in the British accent.
You want to do that?
Sure.
Here we go.
Am I reading the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Andrew, and I'm 15 years old, and my problem is I have a very dislikable personality. It's not that I'm an asshole to everyone. It's because I'm very shy, or for a better term, antisocial. My problem is when I meet a girl I like, I am very cautious around them. I will try to make myself normal in their standards around them to get them
normal.
To like me. Then, once I become friends with them and become more comfortable around them, I revert back to my normal self, which is in some ways bad. Then the girl will notice I am not what I was like before and start to move away from me. And she she is then forever friend-zoned, or worse. What should I do now? I know I need to boost my confidence around people about being myself, but should I change my normal personality to suit the girl I'm trying to woo, or just be myself and hope for the best? Any help would be appreciated. P.S. Description of my normal personality follows. Kind, oversensitive, and paranoid about my appearance due to 2 years of bullying due to my second name being Cockshoot.
So it's Andrew Cockshoot.
Andrew Cockshoot. Teller of rude jokes and lazy but not overweight. Any help would be appreciated. Love the podcast. And by the way, beyond, no weight, erm, scoop.
Scoop!
So... Andrew has an unlikable...
But he has a delightful accent.
Yeah,
he does. I enjoyed that.
You should be getting girls left and right with your accent.
But not if he's like, in London, no, where everybody else has an accent.
There are always some visiting American birds he can pick up on.
There you go. Go to the American University nearby and find
the American
go
University.
Go find somebody studying abroad.
Let me ask you this question, Christine. Does a guy with a British accent, does that do anything for you?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Not that guy, probably.
That was even pretty good.
Nice.
Somebody was telling me that any like a British guy or girl could clean up if they when they visit over here in the U.S.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if that went for if girls American girls were into the British accent.
I kind of wonder if it's the other way around too. Like in England, do British girls think a guy's American accent is hot?
Well, I had sex with 13 girls in London.
Okay,
so
that was just the question.
It was just kind of a one-shot thing. It's like,
I'll bet it was.
All right, ladies, we're just going to get this all one fell swoop. We're going
to
do it.
I got things to do. I got Big Ben to see.
I want to go
to Westminster Palace.
It's true. Anyway, back to Andrew.
What was his question? I was too busy focusing on the accent.
He recognizes he has an unlikable personality.
His personality
so he changes himself.
Fine.
But I think that's worse because then you're like, wait a minute, this isn't.
If you recognize the fact that you are antisocial or whatever you're saying, why not like work on fixing that?
It sounds like that's what he's doing. It sounds like he recognizes there's parts of his personality.
But then he's totally fake.
Well, but maybe he's. If you have a bad personality, shouldn't you try to change it?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, but just don't revert.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
And so you stay that way.
You make yourself more likable, and you get the girl to like you. And why do you revert back to it then?
Yeah. Because then you become comfortable, and then you're like, oh, well, maybe now I can.
I think you need to work on just making
don't do that.
The you that you turn into. You make that. You need to make that the real you, right?
The problem is, I think he said this in a confusing fashion. His personality isn't to be antisocial. That's to hide the fact that he's out of touch. At the very end, he talks about his personality, which is basically Clements.
What?
He says I'm oversensitive and to issues and blah, 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 and I'm trying
but
to be nice.
He's also lazy and tells rude jokes, he says.
Clements can tell a rude joke once in a while.
Once in a while,
but then he'll immediately apologize.
Okay, this we've
just
debunked it. It's not
profusely.
Clements, but it's like Clements, all right? Anyways, he's got a fine personality. Be yourself. Screw anybody who doesn't like it.
It doesn't sound like it. He admits himself. He is.
But maybe he's being overly sensitive.
Mm. Exactly.
Maybe he just thinks. I mean, I would say be yourself for a little while. Give that a shot. See what happens. Because and then if a girl actually likes you, you don't have to be work so hard all the time to try and think about what you're doing and all that other stuff. You should be natural.
I would like to know more about who he turns into to get the girls to like him. You know, like what's the difference?
Probably you.
You know, you think so?
Puts on a shirt with pink guns on it. And he's just ready to go.
Doesn't shave.
Is that Bali?
Sure. No, I like it. It's hot.
All right. This is from Joe.
So now you're doing the thing where you make sure that they don't want to be anonymous.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Joe says, I have had an interest in the sister of my female roommate for a while now.
Okay.
I live with a good friend of mine and his fiance, but she is a total bitch. Oh. So this is his female roommate.
The sister of the girl he's after is the fiance who's a total bitch?
No.
Oh, no,
wait,
just
he's
the
after the fiance's sister.
That's what we just said.
It would be like if I lived with Greg and Christine and I was interested in Christine's sister.
Right.
Yes.
So we're on the same page.
We're good.
He says, I've known her sister for a few years now, but the other day I started really talking with her and we hit it off. She's a gamer chick. Greg will be happy to know she loves her PSP.
Yeah.
She was supposed to come over to our place and play some Dante's Inferno with her sister, but instead she came up to my room and we well could have benefited from those plastic leopard sheets.
What? Oh, they got it on. They had their own Inferno.
Plastic leopard sheets?
I think that goes back from when the Jim Riley story about
Joe's Inferno.
Whether or not he should wash his sheets immediately after having sex.
So with a plastic sheet, what, you just squeegee it off? Clean.
So Joe continues, after that, her sister got real crabby and emotionally turned into a two-year-old. She acts this way all the time, so it's not that different, but I have to put up with it per my living arrangement as of right now. Should I try to keep this relationship with her sister going and see if she stops being very junior high about it, or should I drop it to help my living situation?
Keep it going. Keep screw it going.
Thanks a lot,
bitch.
And Scoop. This is a good example of why I don't think you should live with couples. I don't think that's a good situation to live with people who are coupled up.
So you just got my hopes up. You're not moving in with me.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I don't know. Like, I have a friend who she's been staying with her boyfriend, like kind of like moved into her house, and the roommates are kind of like sick of her being around there all the time. Like
that's the roommate.
This sounds like she pays rent.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, she does. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's a good idea to live with couples.
And I would say keep the relationship going because you can always move out.
That's true. Yeah. Couples always have drama. That means you have to live with their drama.
It sounds like he doesn't like her that much. If he really liked her, that wouldn't be an issue.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like,
he'd be like, well, you know,
if you
want to
be with somebody, you should never let trivial stuff like this get in the way of being with somebody if you want to be with them.
Yeah. Or he could talk to her.
And be like, hey, like, stop being such a bitch.
Is there some sort of problem with dating your sister?
But maybe not like that.
Like, if so, we should talk about it. And
talk to your friend who is going to marry this bitch, right?
Yeah.
Like, talk to your friend.
Stop him.
Yeah.
That will really make your living situation great.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, don't marry that girl. Peace.
So the gist of it is, if you want to hang out with this girl, don't let the bitchy sister stop you. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
One more here. This is from Chris. I am currently a senior in high school, he says. There is this one pretty fine English girl, a grade below me, who I can tell is into me. There is one problem, her friends. My school has a big theater program, and the kids in the program are really weird. They wear cat ears and tails and capes around school for fun.
Hot.
This girl herself does not do that, but her friends do. I am torn. Do I pursue the hot foreign girl with a taste for Japanese PS2 horror games and face social suicide? Or do I look for other fish in the sea?
Oh, whatever.
Boo.
Right?
Dude, he's a theater kid.
Oh, I always...
They're not that weird.
What?
I said I was a theater kid. They're not that weird.
Well, I was a
Maybe
theater kid.
Maybe there's other people.
I was a theater kid, and I think they can be that weird.
They can be that weird.
But who cares?
That doesn't mean that she's that weird.
No, if she's cool, like, who cares?
If I remember correctly, when Knockin' Boots started, it started off of me being a dick and saying, you just burn bridges. What do you care?
Yeah.
How many more months you got with these kids? F them, whatever.
Who cares, yeah.
Slap the cafeteria trays out of the jerk.
It's not like she's going to be BFF with them for the rest of her life.
It's been a couple of years since the four of us were in high school.
It's true.
So maybe we're still cool, right, guys?
I just graduated, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Maybe we've lost a little bit of perspective on like how much that stuff matters. But
no, I don't think
to
so.
Me, it seems silly, like to not pursue a relationship just because the people that you already hang out with are going to maybe have a lower view of you because you're dating a girl
who has these foreign friends. What?
Like, come on.
Yeah. We're just talking about the British accents there. Yeah, go for it.
And also, who knows? You might like the cat ears.
Wow.
Yeah, I like the cat ears. Put cat ears on you when you're wearing your tiny robot costume.
That, no, you've taken it too
far. Riding a unicorn.
All right.
I'm back on board.
Let's check in with the listeners. Listeners, remember, you can always email us at gamescoop@ign.com. That email address works for both video game questions and Knockin' Boots questions. Any sort of questions or queries you might want to send us.
I have to bounce.
You're out now? Okay. Yes. Thank you for joining us, Christine.
All right. Peace out.
Bye, Christine.
Kyle Ellis sent in some GameScoop artwork for us. More Shocktopus artwork here.
Oh, I like to see a Shocktopus that has lightning coming out of it.
This is referring...
Wait, so it's shock combined with an octopus?
Yeah, it's an octopus with lightning powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think how deadly that would be, especially because he's in the water and would electrocute everything in the ocean.
That might be the only way an octopus could ever defeat a shark.
Is if it had electro powers.
How big is the spread of electricity? If I dropped a toaster into the ocean, how far does that go?
You'd kill everything in the ocean, Greg.
30 yards. You got a 30-yard radius.
Okay.
Kyle heard Craig's call out for artwork of the Sharktopus with a shark's body and an octopus head. Like this one over here. This guy.
I love that one. It's so disturbing.
He's so upset with life.
So he met Craig Scull and worked up some artwork here. It's pretty good, but notice he doesn't know how to spell octopus. He's misspelled.
Topus. Yeah. Shark topus.
Like a shark in a topus restaurant.
Exactly.
Which
so,
is awesome.
Yeah, cool artwork here, but.
Yeah, I like the art.
Why does the octopus head have the tentacle like suckers on it?
I think that's just spots.
Yeah, it's a spotted octopus.
I noticed that none of these sharktopi are spurting ink out.
No, we don't have any artwork of the sharktopi mid spurt.
Saying Shazam.
But this one has a mouth with teeth, actually. The other artwork that has is the octopus that doesn't have.
It's just so disturbing looking.
Hey, you want the tape?
Yeah, give me the tape here. This one's going up right next to our other sharktopus. The one by Nathan Yim. So now.
Yeah, good work, Nathan.
Yeah.
Which is close to the one by Chili Philly.
I really like the Chili Philly sketch here. This one has the shark head with
that
the octopus
shark's dangerous.
Body.
I mean, can we all agree that the best one is this one here, though?
Oh, well, yeah.
That's the most, realistic.
Yeah, the best one here is...
If I was going to open
it... It's been signed, but I can't...
WP?
Yeah, I forget the name of the listener who sent that in, but it's fantastic.
WP, yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's really good.
All right, here. Moving on. What are we going here? This is Ryan Pingree. He's gonna predict right now that Harmonix is going to release Queen's A Night at the Opera album as Rock Band 3's first downloadable full album. Hmm. He's making that prediction. He wants to make that public.
Okay.
he submits to us as evidence. Number one, Bohemian Rhapsody, a song on disc for Rock Band 3, is from this album, Night of the Opera. Rock Band 2's had an 8-song Queen pack. It did not contain any songs from Night at the Opera. Number three, that album is riddled with incredible piano arrangements. And of course, there's going to be keyboard in Rock Band 3. And finally, Queen is known for their amazing vocal harmonies. They are prominent in every song on this album. And of course, you can also do have vocal harmonies in Rock Band 3.
That sounds like a sound argument.
So there you go.
But we all know the track history on Harmonix announcing a full album download and then never delivering. Remember when they made a big deal? I don't even remember anymore. They made a giant deal about their first album was going to be...
I thought it was going to be Nevermind,
right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was going to be The Who, and then it went forever, and there was no album. And they finally and here's our first album, Judas Priest.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem was that they had issues with their original recordings, though, of the master recordings of that record they couldn't get for some reason, and they thought they were going to be able to, and there are these issues with it. So it wasn't like...
I'm just saying, don't believe a word they say.
Yeah, that's probably a good
idea. Believe the hype.
But they didn't say it. This guy did. Mm-hmm. So I believe it.
Yeah. If it happens, Ryan Pingree, he called it. This is David Petrison. Says, I'm not sure if you've heard, but one of the best schools in my state, Wabash College, which is all male, by the way.
Boo.
Sausage Fest. Has just listed the game Portal as part of its required curriculum for all new students studying any major.
That's cool. Any major?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to play the game?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Well, how are they going to play it if they... I guess everyone's got to have a PC, they could...
I mean, I assume, you know,
they have stations or something.
If you're assigned a book to read, they give you the book, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No. That's how it works. You have to buy the book.
Well, okay. So you think you have to buy Portal then?
Yeah.
Or they, it could be.
Well, I mean, it's required before you come in. Like, that's just expected for you to know. I mean.
No, I think it's going to be part of their curriculum that they teach.
Oh, okay. Now I'm with you. Sorry.
So he says, I might be getting ahead of myself, but I'm excited for any step that encourages serious, in-depth discussion of gaming. I definitely believe that video games can be true art, but until analysis on them improves... What's your problem?
It turns out they did this so that when you come into class, you're like, now, obviously video games aren't art. You all play this Portal garbage.
So he's hoping perhaps we are inching towards, a time when video games are considered alongside other art forms, such as literature and video game and film. Yeah.
It's a long, hard road.
Yeah.
One day I'll be able to marry my games.
Society will never accept it. Tommy McDonald wants to know, what is the Scoop Crew's favorite character in Peggle?
A hamster.
Bjorn Unicorn.
This guy's the first guy that you start out with?
He's a freaking unicorn.
It's all about Master Hugh. Master Hugh cannot be touched.
Well, it's not about the power. He's just asking about the character.
Well, he is my favorite character because of his power.
That's fun.
All right. I like the owl, too.
I like the hamster.
That's Master Hugh.
Oh, okay.
I like the hamster because he wears a little construction hat.
His power is totally worthless. It just makes a double ball.
It's not the power.
What does it mean? Anyway, as soon as I unlock Master Hugh, I don't use anybody else.
Wow. Yeah. Who has the Zen Ball?
That's Master Hugh. What is your problem today?
Which one is the owl, with I missed you, Damon. This is a sad face now.
This is Corey Puckett. Says, I can't get enough Monster Hunter Freedom Unite on the PSP. What are the chances of a full-scale multiplayer Monster Hunter on the 360 or PS3?
That's coming to Japan.
It's out in Japan, I believe, on 360. Monster Hunter Online, I believe. But, I mean, I don't think that series is like...
It never sells well over here.
Over here,
It's got a really hardcore fan base.
They
like
really pushed it on the Wii, and I don't think it sold like...
Yeah, you never
heard of it. Well, the Wii was the wrong platform to try a console.
An online.
Yeah. I mean, so that if they're, that was their first mistake. But I even think that even if they did, it wouldn't do very well. I mean...
Maybe they should make like a more modest like a Xbox Live Arcade, like PSN game that people can play online with. You can see that working out.
How do the Phantasy Star games sell here on PSP? Is there only one?
I don't even know.
Is it unlimited?
I can't remember but that's a similar kind of idea, you know? Online RPG.
I think Dave Clayman's the only one who cares.
Yeah, bro.
This is Keith Crandell. He's 18. He's from Pennsylvania. It says, lately I've had many questions about IGN as a whole. I want to know if you could answer them. Firstly, how does IGN rank in the gaming industry compared to other review companies such as GameSpy or Game Informer?
The best in the world.
Does IGN get any content or interviews that no one else does?
Yes.
Also, I am very interested about the process of reviewing games. How do you know when there is a game coming into you to review?
People tell us. Next.
How does the company decide who reviews that game?
We have meetings.
What do the big companies like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft do for you to review the games?
They send them to us.
And they pay us like the amount
they
want.
They give us lamps.
Yeah,
as a fee. Yeah.
Just wondering lately. Thanks for your time. You make trophy whoring every week that much more awesome. Scoop. Do we have any serious answers for him, or is it?
I think those are really serious.
Well, we do get the how do we pick who reviews games? You know, who reviews what game? Question every once in a while, and yeah, we just we know who the editors are who enjoy playing certain types of games, and mm-hmm. and then we sometimes some editors get tired of reviewing the types of games that they really enjoy, so we shift them off of that and have somebody else do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it just depends on who has free time. I don't know. I mean, like if. I think the other questions are, the questions are, do we get things people don't get?
Yeah.
I mean, we do a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, that's what in any media, you trade in exclusives. So, like, we're always trying to get exclusive content that other people don't have. We own GameSpy, just so you know.
Heads up.
You're asking, yeah. I don't really know what you mean by, like, how do we rank compared to other review companies, but we are far and away the biggest gaming site out there. And the best.
And the handsomest.
Yeah, for sure. This is from Gary. It says, I got a bit burnt out of the Metroid Prime games near the end of Metroid Prime 3 a few years ago. Will I find Other M that much different than the Prime games? And do you consider it a day one purpose or not?
Yes. He meant a day one porpoise.
Yeah, it is a day one porpoise for sure. No, it's good. Metroid Other M is very good. Craig Harris gave it an 8.5, and it is quite different from the Metroid Prime games. It's like a... I think it was smart for them to kind of mix it up and go with something new for that series. If you like Metroid at all, I think you should definitely get that game.
Our review for Metroid Other M went up today.
Yeah.
So you can check that out on the website, and we'll have some other video content about Metroid Other M going up early next week.
There you go. This is from Eric Sutherland. I enjoy having my friends around to play on the Xbox, but we haven't got much choice of games that can be played split-screen, as the only ones I have are Halo games or racing games. Although those are fun, it would be good to have a bit more variety. I was wondering if there was any good multiplayer split-screen games that you recommend that I should get so that me and my friends have something else to play.
GoldenEye. How about that one? They should play GoldenEye.
No, get Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Left 4 Dead does split-screen.
XBLA. Left 4 Dead 2, but I'm just saying. Lara Croft just came out and is fantastic. Super, super fun co-op game. It only does local right now, though. It's going to be patched to go online when the PSN version comes out. But I can't recommend that game enough. It's fantastic. Finally, Johnny Martinez wants to know, is there going to be an IGN meet and greet at PAX? I mean, aside from the donut shop one, which seems to tailor solely to PS3 fans. I don't have a PSP, but I'd like to come and say hi and not be the guy without a PSP or a PS3. I only have a 360.
Greg, maybe you can field this one.
Why? You're not getting checked for PS3s or PSPs at the door. You can come say hi and eat a free donut and hang out with the PlayStation blog and IGN Thursday at Top Pop Donuts. Top Pot.
And I mean, I'm not going to be at this event, but I do want to encourage people to go to the meet and greet, not only because you get to hang out with Greg Miller, Levi Buchanan, and some of our other editors, but Top Pot makes the best damn donuts in Seattle.
Do they?
That's at 7:30 to 9:30 on a Thursday night.
That's
so, yeah.
The wrong conversation to have while I'm so hungry.
I know, right? It's bad.
Can we go get donuts for lunch?
No, I will not allow it.
Besides that, I think you can. There's the Girl Fight panel on Friday night, and then there's GameSpy's debriefings on Sunday morning. I'd imagine after that, we'll probably go somewhere, hang out with you guys, talk to you if you want to. So there you go.
Nice.
But the most formal one is the one we're co-doing with the PlayStation blog on Thursday.
Can I give you some Halo Reach pins to hand out at PAX, Greg?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't have room in his suitcase.
Sorry, listeners. You're not going to get some free Halo Reach pins.
All right, fine. Give them to me. All right, we'll have some fun.
If you're not going to PAX and you're in the Bay Area, you should come to Rocket Room next Friday night because I'll be DJing there. Starting at 9 p.m.
Wiggy.
Be good. Greg, what's this Extra Life thing, though, you and I are
involved
in?
Extra Life is a charity from Sarcastic Gamer. And what happens is everyone plays video games for 24 hours straight, one stretch. It's a marathon, basically, right? And people come in. It's kind of like a walkathon, right? For, like, you know how you see those for breast cancer. People show up and donate money saying, hey, thanks for doing this. Here's how much money I'll give you. IGN is doing it. You're going to do it, Damon. Mm-hmm. I have to get you on the sheet. Geddes is doing it as well.
Yep.
This whole room is doing it. October 16th, I believe. It's that Saturday. We're playing for 24 hours straight from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. We would love you to give us some money to help us donate. But if you can't, if you don't have any money, you can also join our team. We have a team, IGN.com. You are welcome to sign up at Extra Life, join our team, and then the money you're raising goes into our pool, and we look that much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole thing benefits the Children's Miracle Network. We, as IGN.com, are giving to the Oakland Children's Hospital. So, but you could pick any hospital in your area and join us and just be part of it and start making your parents do give you money and everything else. You can find all the information you need at tinyurl.com/extra IGN.
tinyurl.com/extra IGN. Good. I almost forgot. I wanted to point out here, the latest issue of Edge magazine has a hilarious interview with Itagaki.
Oh, awesome.
We love Itagaki around here, of course.
We love us some Itagakis.
Yeah, of course, he's the creator of Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive, this guy. Sort of an eccentric Japanese game developer.
No, eccentric, what are you talking about?
But I love, he's got some great quotes in here in this interview where he says, when it comes to knowledge, for example, of war, I think I'm one of the top three people in the industry. He goes on to say, so he has a new game coming out. What's it called? Devil's Third. And it's a shooter. So it's like a first-tier shooter that he's made. So he goes on to say, there are many important things in this world. One is violence.
Mm-hmm.
Second, women. Then there's flowers, friendship, betrayal, death, dancing. Children, of course, are one of these important things. Many, many important things. These are the things that touch the soul of every human being, and if you're trying to put together something great and meaningful for all the people of Earth, you've got to assign the right role to each element.
Wow, that's deep.
I know. He continues. Another important thing is drinking alcohol. The love letters you write at night after drinking, they're usually not that good. But you write them, and when you wake up the next day and reread them, and find there are lots of beautiful gems there, and you rewrite them.
Wow.
This is the guy who had a sexual harassment lawsuit, yes, brought up to him for allegedly inserting his fingers into the mouth of a female employee in a cab. So on why Japan's game industry is failing and why he's managed to be successful. I'm successful because I'm a real Japanese.
Wow.
What I'm trying to say is that in the 60s, the Japanese people were forced to think about what they were good at, what their originality was, about how they deal with the outside world, and especially what their weaknesses were. Once they were doing well, they still had to think about those things, but they became too interested in making money rather than evaluating themselves. Listen, we're talking about something really important. Politics. So we have to make this really really clear. Maybe you should ask a question like, so, are you interested in becoming a political candidate? Edge magazine says, are you? Itagaki says, no, ask it. Edge says, are you interested in becoming a political candidate? Itagaki says, yes. There have been some offers for me to become a political candidate in Japan, and we do need a strong leader. Edge asks if Japan would accept a leader who dresses like Itagaki. He can be a little flamboyant.
And he ends the interview. Spikes the mic and leaves.
Itagaki finishes by saying, I think so. No, they will. Think about it. Japan is such a hot country, and yet all the current leaders wear suits all the time. Does that make any more sense?
They should wear black mesh sleeveless shirts like he does.
I am much more picky about how I dress. But you know, there are a lot of things I haven't done in this industry, so I'll probably stay in it until I die. After all, I'm a real Japanese.
Wow.
Brilliant. We love Itagaki.
If Itagaki becomes Prime Minister of Japan, I will move there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If you were going to eat those words, buddy.
I will swear allegiance.
Man.
To Itagaki. All right, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. We're going to get lunch. This evening, we're going to go pay tribute to a fat, fat cat who is no longer with
Mr. Higgins, Eddie Rickenbacker's mascot, dead.
Yeah. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for joining us. Christine is who left.
She's no longer with us. She's joined Mr. Higgins.
Oh, no! Who will pay the other half of my rent?
What does far away Christine sound like? Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Ryan. It's good to have you back. Glad we'll have you on many more scoops these days.
Yeah.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out. Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.